just a conqueror. No, not just a conqueror. I'm not just a conqueror, but I'm more than a conqueror. I'm not just a conqueror. No, not just a conqueror. I'm not just a conqueror, but I'm more than a conqueror. The fight is fixed. I won't give in, 'cause I'm more than a conqueror.
Good evening. Let's all stand and sing. Let's continue that singing, Behold Our God.
Thank you.
Amen. Let's get around and shake someone's hand.
Good evening, good evening. Let's continue to praise our Lord and Savior by turning to page 510, singing Jesus is all the world to me, the first, third, and last verse, page 510. Singing by turning to page 422, singing the first, third, and last verse of No, Not One. turning page 497, singing Near to the Heart of God.
Day in church already today and ready for some more. Amen. And so God has been good. One baptized this morning, and so that was good to see. And then also just a wonderful outpouring of the Spirit this morning. Lots of folks and visitors, and we've got some friends here tonight. Kevin and Melinda, good to have you here with us worshiping at Assurance Baptist Church this evening. Awana is packed, and they've got a big day over there. Brother Marty, Sister Amy over there. Marty's all dressed up in his fire department outfit, so I don't know exactly what's going on. But I know we're safe from any fires today. That much is true. Nursery's packed, and we're just having a good day. So looking at some announcements here before we invite our guests to come and talk to us this evening. We do have Young at Hearts is meeting this Thursday at noon. That's our 55 and over ministry. We ask that you bring a side dish or a dessert, heavy on the desserts, on Thursday, because I'll be here. And so glad for the Young at Hearts ministry. If you have questions or need information about that, see Deacon Chuck Schroed for that. We also want to encourage for everyone to come out Thursday for our Go Reach Our World, our Grow Night. We're going to be meeting at McDonald's on Main Street. That is 9285 North Main Street in Inglewood. Again, this week is going to be mountainous. There's a lot of hills over where we're headed, but the weather's supposed to be nice, so if you need to drive up the hill, once you get up the hill, it's flat, but walking up the hill is a lot. Actually, Brother Nathan, our guest speaker, his sending church, they came and helped us do those streets back-to-back days, and Pastor Ryan Bevan and his crew came on a Friday and Saturday, and it was the hottest days of 2018. It was like 110 degrees, and I said, I'm sorry, but you guys have one of the bigger churches coming, so I'm going to use your legs. And they're all runners, so I was like, you guys are in good shape. So I remember Pastor Ryan and his wife Sarah, they walked, some of you that know Clayton know this, they walked from where that McDonald's is all the way over across the street of Old Salem where the fire department, they did all that, just those two. And I was like, see, I knew that we had the runners in the right place in the right time, and they didn't pass out or nothing. They came back the next day. That's where we'll be this week. Now I'm scared nobody's coming to Grow this week. All right, anyway, baby dedications. If you would like to have your child dedicated Sunday, a week from today, on Mother's Day, please send a picture and the information that's in the bulletin. Have that ready to go for baby dedications. Friend Day is coming, May 21st. Excited about that. There's no Sunday school that day, and there's no evening service that day. Everything's there during that 10:30 worship service, and then afterwards, the activities, the meal, all those things. We're asking that everybody brings a dessert, so all the food will be taken care of. If you just bring a dessert, again, we're really heavy on the desserts, so bring desserts, all right? And we'll have a good time there. And then shortly after that, Vacation Bible School, June 4th through 7th, Super Mario, Race to the Rescue. And so you're invited. If you would like to help with Vacation Bible School, this is really important. See Brother Jeremy Brister. Don't see anybody else. See Brother Jeremy Brister, because he has a mind for the children's ministry. And the rest of us will probably lead you in the wrong direction. All right, so see Brother Jeremy Brister, our children's pastor. He'll set you out for what we're going to be doing there and what needs. He knows who's already being used, who can't be used, what you're going to be doing. So talk to him. And then also with that, we have our children's program. Awana will be over here in a couple of weeks, and we'll be starting a new children's program the week after Vacation Bible School. Actually, Brother Brandon and the youth group are in charge of that. That's their summer ministry, and they're going to be taking care of that. They've got some wonderful servants of God working in that. There's a cooking class. There's wiffle ball. There's basketball. And they're going to be training up. So they'll do each of those for 5 weeks. You pick one, and then you'll have another one the last 5 weeks. If you're going to send a child to that, there's no sign-up list on the welcome table. You need to email us at info@abcnorthmont.org and sign up through the email. It's just much cleaner and easier. So everybody's got an email. If you don't have an email, talk to me. Talk to Brandon, and we'll make sure you get in there. But if you have a kid little enough to be in there, I guarantee you have an email. And if you don't, we've got to talk. There's bigger issues, all right? So we're going to have a good time with all those things this summer. But, hey, come out to Young at Hearts first and foremost this week, and also make sure that you're here Wednesday. We got church on Wednesdays. It's a good time, isn't it? Wednesday at noon. Hey, Wednesday at noon, the Wednesday at noon people, they can back me up. By the time 7 o'clock comes, you guys just kind of get what I got left over. But at noon, bud, I'm raring and ready to go. So we need some more people come at noon. At noon, man, I'm talk back. The people talk to me. It's a good time. There might be 6 or 7 of us, and it's a good old time. Miss Bev comes and plays the piano. So Jennifer does it at night. Bev, we're not missing anything at noon, are we? We got it all. And at noon, I'll tell you what else we got. At noon, this is kind of every once in a while at the noon service, we get Brother Chuck Schrode come in here, and he laughs at my jokes. I don't know if it's just because it's noon. He won't laugh at my jokes any other time, but at noon, he thinks I'm funny for some reason. I don't know. If I try it on Sunday, he just look at me crazy, but at noon on Wednesday, sometimes he thinks I'm funny. Well, listen, I want to introduce and invite my friend, Pastor Nathan Woodworth, the pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Circleville. He has been a great friend to me and to my family. He serves on the fuel board that we serve on, that our church helps out with, at a camp we go to. He's been doing that for a lot longer than me, and he's a phenomenal young man. He and his wife, Sierra, and their children, they have been just instrumental all over our ministry. They came and helped, and all the Lighthouse Baptist churches, and their church wasn't very old, was from them. It was from Lighthouse Baptist Church in Circleville. The first check we ever got. Before we ever started the church, I think it was January of 18, we got that check. And Chandra and I, we had our little bit of money that we put in there, and we had this one check from Lighthouse Baptist Church, Circleville. And from that came all this. It came Assurance Baptist Church. And so he's meant a lot to me, means a lot to me. And if you'll listen, he'll bless your soul. And we are so grateful that he's come. It's a long journey and a boring drive from Circleville to here. Ain't no good way to get here, is there?
It's just straight.
Just straight. Just yeah. And it's all like just farmland and lakes. Yeah. There's not much here on the way there. But we're so glad that he's come and taken time away from his church. I was just down there with them a couple of weeks ago. And gosh, I tell you what, they've got a great work going on down there. And just they're like us. They're busting at the seams and got projects going on. But we're so proud of them and everything they've done, and everything that he means to us and has meant to us. So this evening, would you give Pastor Nathan Woodworth a great big Assurance Baptist Church welcome?
Appreciate you, brother. Amen. Wow. I didn't realize we were the first check. Maybe he told me that. I forgot, but he didn't tell you it was only $5. Oh man! Well, this is a blessing. This is an encouragement. Just being here, and we played just a small part in supporting as the church was just first being planted, and coming to door knock a little bit and walk some streets. And we didn't have any hills, so I appreciate that, Brother Bryson, when we came. We are the favored lighthouse of the three, and like the youngest is the favorite. But yeah, just to see that from a small amount of people to where you are now, thanks be to God. Amen. And praise the Lord for his goodness. I mean, it's all him. It's all his glory. But it does take work. It does take effort. And so I love your pastor, and what a wonderful family. And you know, I don't know if you know this, but you got a great preacher. And I love him. Amen. And you know, he is a phenomenal preacher, and please don't take that for granted. That doesn't happen everywhere, all right? Every once in a while, he's got to bring in another preacher like me just to remind you how gifted he is at preaching, and that's why I'm really here. And no, but it is a blessing to be here. I'm excited to preach, and I'm going to encourage you. If you have your Bibles, let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as you find your place, why don't you stand with me as we honor God's word this evening? 1 Corinthians 15. Tonight I want to talk about the unmovable Christian. The unmovable Christian. You're going to have to go deep into 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to start all the way in verse 50 and beginning in verse number 50. The word of God says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Verse 53. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." In verse number 15, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this powerful passage. God, we praise you for what you're doing here at Assurance Baptist Church. God, let us never forget that it is because of you and your hand and your name that we are here. And if you remove your hand, Lord, then that blessing will go away as well. Help us, God, tonight as we look at what it means to be an unmovable Christian in a movable world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Well, 1 Corinthians 15 is one of the longest chapters in the New Testament. It's also one of the sweetest. It's not surprising that many flee from even the thought of death, even though they cannot escape death itself. Every tick of the clock, somebody somewhere on earth passes into eternity. And one of those ticks will be for me, and one of those ticks will be for you. One of those ticks, my life will be over, and what I've done for Jesus Christ will be the only thing that matters. The same applies to everyone we know, whether saved or not. King David said this, "There is but a step between me and death." Death is known as the great enemy of man. Truly, we could all echo the words of King David, because in just a moment, death could call our number. Death is the enemy. The book of Job calls death the king of terrors. But death is not the end. In this chapter, it's about the death of death. Death is not a period, but a comma. Dying is the last page of time, but it is the first page of eternity. Because Christ Jesus is risen from the dead, therefore, the promise that Jesus offers to us is that we will be resurrected and given new glorified bodies. If you're looking forward to that day, say amen. Here's how the Bible puts it, that death has lost its sting. Now, in a few weeks, me and my family will get to take a vacation. We go to the beach every year. Anybody here really love the beach or going to the ocean, all right? I love the ocean. I actually lived in Myrtle Beach for a little while, and when I was a teenager, it was more of like an extended vacation. We weren't there very long, but we loved going to the beach. One day, my nephew Chris convinced me. Now, keep in mind, my nephew Chris, although he's my nephew, he's older than me, all right? If you're not sure how that works, just ask somebody, okay? He convinced me that we needed to go to the beach and that the best time to go swimming at the beach was in December. And I listened. I said, okay, Chris, I'm kind of curious why it's the best time to go to the beach. So sure enough, we made our way down to the ocean, and we got to the ocean, and there was no one else there. Surprise, surprise. He said, this is one of the reasons it's the best time to come swim, because nobody else is in the water. We have the whole thing to ourselves. I thought, nobody's insane like you are, Chris. That's why. Sure enough, we started going out into the water and shivering our way, and he's like, isn't this great, you know, as he's shivering. And then he said, now let me tell you really why this is the best time to go swimming. And he said, because it's December and the water's so cold, I thought, you don't say, Chris. He said, because it's December and the water's so cold, it's too cold for the sharks. And so the sharks migrate to warmer weather. And then he said, because it's so cold, there's no chance that we'll be bit by a shark. And I kid you not, as those words left his mouth, Chris started screaming. And I'm talking bloody murder. Ah, as loud as he could. And then he made a beeline straight for the shore. Now, just a tip, if you're in the ocean and you see somebody screaming and swimming to shore, you better get to shore as well. And so sure enough, I took off. In my mind, I thought, well, Chris is a goner, man, so I better save myself here. And I beat him to shore, and I looked back, and sure enough, he came, and he made it back to the beach eventually, and there I am waiting to see the blood and see him missing a foot or an arm or something, but there was nothing. He was still screaming, but there was nothing wrong with him. And I thought, what's the matter with you? And then I saw it. All the way up his leg in a big old spiral started to form this red welt. Anybody know what it was? Jellyfish. A jellyfish got him. Apparently, they don't mind the cold water, right? And there we were, and eventually that pain subsided. I don't think Chris ever went swimming in December again at the ocean. But I thought, man, jellyfish are kind of weird creatures, aren't they? God created them. But can you imagine if you were able to somehow take away the sting of that jellyfish, it would be a very unintimidating animal, wouldn't it? It would just be jelly. That would be all that's left. If you could take away the sting, the fear would also go away. Now, listen once again to what the Bible says about death. It says that the sting of death has been taken away. Let's look at why that's the case. Jump back to verse number 50 with me of 1 Corinthians 15. It says this. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That verse tells us that we have to be different. We have to be changed if we are going to inherit a spiritual kingdom. We have to have spiritual bodies. The bodies that we have now just won't cut it. Maybe you think, preacher, I don't think my body is cutting it for this life, let alone the next life, right? And I would say you're exactly right. This verse says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be change. Now, sleep is the way that the Bible sometimes describes death for a believer. So all believers won't die, but all believers will be changed. That means without exception. Now look at verse 52. It says, this will happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. I love the first phrase of that verse, in a moment, a singular moment of time, so small that it cannot be measured. It's not going to be some long, drawn-out process, but in a moment, in a split second, the dead body decaying in the grave will become a glorified body. One moment here and mortal, the next moment with Christ and immortal, and in that state forever and ever. Did you know that the average person blinks about 20,000 times a day? Some of you blinked when I said that. In one of those blinks, Jesus will return. And I think how tragic that there are so many people, friends of ours, family members of ours, neighbors, who are walking around with the assumption that they will get right with Jesus later. And to think, you fool, later may never come. So you have to get right or you'll get left. Because that trump is going to sound, the sky is going to split open, and 1 Thessalonians tells us that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet with the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, what's the requirement for being a part of such a magnificent event? That passage says you have to be in Christ. That's it. That's the key. That's the ticket. You must be born again. Somebody said, if you've been heaven-born, you'll be heaven-bound. For the Lord himself. Jesus is not sending somebody else. Not an angel or one of his servants, but the Lord himself will come to retrieve his bride from the earth. Listen, Christian, we're really not waiting for the rapture. We're not waiting for an event. We're waiting for a person. The Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, Jesus Christ. That's who we're looking for. Paul writes in verse number 53, for this corruptible, that's you, that's me, all right? For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Notice it says, for we must. Why? Because the bodies we have now are decaying. They're pain-racked by the curse. They're frail. They're mortal. They cannot inherit a spiritual kingdom. These mortal bodies cannot possibly dwell in eternity. Every night you go to sleep, you decay a little bit more. Some days you decay more than others. Sometimes it depends what side you sleep on in the bed, right? There is no way that we could stand in eternity in the presence of God with our mortal bodies. If we would stand and see God in all of his glory, we wouldn't last 1 second. We would be consumed by it. The Bible says no man has seen God and lived. We would melt away. Now, the Bible is filled with different visions of heaven and heavenly things, but it also says no man has seen God in all of his glory for all that he is and lived to tell the tale. We would dissolve. Consider, whenever an angel appears in Scripture, when an angel comes to somebody in the Bible, what's the initial reaction? Does somebody say, oh, look, it's an angel. Look how sweet. No, what's the reaction? Fear. They're afraid. As a matter of fact, some people, when they see angels that we read about in Scripture, you know what they say? we're dead, we're gonna die, just because we saw an angel. How much more the one who created all of the angels? I don't know if any of y'all remember this, but it had to have been 5 or 6 years ago. There was the big solar eclipse. Does anybody remember when that happened? It was like a huge deal. This would be a legit solar eclipse. I mean, the whole thing is covered. And it was on every news media outlet and social media. Everybody was talking about this solar eclipse. And then they started telling everybody, do not look at the solar eclipse. You will go blind, you know. Don't look at it. And then people started selling these glasses, unless you have the special solar eclipse goggles or glasses, and you can wear those. And then those sold out. So then there were all these videos popping up of do-it-yourself solar goggles. And there's, you know, some mom on there, and she's putting together a couple toilet paper rolls. And she's like, if you glue this on there, it'll be fine. I'm like, sketchy at best, Susan. You can keep your toilet paper roll goggles. I don't trust my eyes in those things, all right? I remember sending the kids to school that day, and it hit me about, I don't know, halfway through the day. I wonder if our kids' school has shut all the blinds and, like, there's no recess, because if you tell my kids, don't look at that thing, they're looking at it, aren't they? And they get it from their dad. They get it on us, because there I was sitting in the church. I'm in my office. Everybody's talking about the solar eclipse. They're posting pictures. I don't have any special goggles. Now I'm kind of regretting not making Susan's goggles that she told me about. And I thought, I gotta look at this thing, man. I gotta look at it. So here's what I did. I went out to my truck, okay? I rolled up the tinted windows. I put my sunglasses on. And then I did this, okay? And I squinted I opened my fist just enough. I don't know what this was gonna do, but just enough to where I could see it, and I looked at it for about 10 seconds. And then the rest of the day, I was scared to death that I would wake up blind the next morning. But I'm good. I made it. All right, I survived, and I got to look at it without Susan's goggles. So I was looking at it. And then some stories started coming out about people who did look at it without any protection. And I read a story about a guy who looked at the eclipse for 1 minute and had permanent eye damage, blind for 60 seconds of looking at this solar eclipse. I thought, wow, how powerful does the sun have to be for a guy almost 100 miles away to look at it for 60 seconds and to be blind the rest of his life? And then I thought, how much more the God who created the sun and the stars with the power of his voice, could anybody think that they would stand face to face with him and not dissolve before him? We have a powerful God. Therefore, this mortal must put on immortality. One preacher said it like this: in eternity, we will need glorified eyes just to see him, a glorified tongue just to praise him, a glorified heart just to love him, glorified hands to cast our crowns before his feet, glorified knees to bow before him, and glorified ears to even hear his voice. Therefore, this perishable must put on the imperishable. This mortal must put on immortality. And one day, these old bodies will be gone. And when that happens, verse number 54, look there with me. It says, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Death will be swallowed up. It will be devoured. Now, presently, death is still our enemy. Even though the Christian need not fear death, death still hurts us. It causes divisions between relationships and loved ones and friends who are gone. But this victory that we read about of Jesus will literally eat death alive. It will swallow it whole. Now, for the believer, that doesn't mean that death is just not going to hurt us anymore. It means that all the harm of death will be forever gone. All that death has done will be reversed. Revelation actually says that death will be taken and cast into the lake of fire. This is the day that death dies. Death will be disarmed, it will be defanged, it will be declawed, and eventually destroyed. Think about this. The Apostle Paul is mocking death. He's ridiculing it. How triumphant is the believer that Paul is actually taunting death? Oh, death, where is your sting? Because when Jesus hung on the cross, he took the sting of death for us. That is the day that death lost its sting, because it left its sting in Jesus. And now we, even on the edge of the grave, can say, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? You have lost. Victory belongs to Jesus and those who belong to him. Amen. Now verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if you try to take death on without Christ, you will lose. Death is only lost once. Thanks be to God. That's what Paul says. Why is he saying that? Because it's the only thing he can say. He can't do anything about his sin. He can't do anything to save himself. He can't take away the sting of death on his own. All he can say is, thanks be to God. Now, I don't know how many funerals I've done in my life, but I'll tell you this, there's a great difference between a believer's funeral and an unbeliever's funeral. An unbeliever's funeral is cold, and there is an overwhelming feeling of defeat. We have lost. But for the Christian, in a strange way, there is a sweetness and a sense of victory at the funeral service of a believer. Jesus prayed this in John 17, verse 24. Just listen to these words for a second. Listen to the prayer of Jesus. He says, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may be able to behold my glory. Have you ever considered that Jesus' prayer in John 17 is answered every time a saint dies? Now, I've prayed for loved ones and for my family who were on the edge of death, and I don't think there's anything wrong. Although we ultimately want the will of God to be done, there's nothing wrong with praying that God would save someone, that he would heal someone, that he would restore their health. And I've prayed, God, please, please don't let them die. And that's hard, and that's difficult, because many of those times, God didn't answer my prayer. But he did answer Jesus' prayer, because Jesus said, Father, let them come to where I am, that they may behold my glory. Death does not end in defeat for the Christian, because the worst thing that can ever happen to us here on earth is actually the best thing. Death is the funeral, not just for your body, but also for all of your sorrows, your sins, your temptations, and your affliction. For death opens the door to the believer to enter into the presence of Jesus. So Paul says, thanks be to God. Is there any wonder why Paul said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain? What? How can death be gain? Because for the believer, death is but a friend that ushers us into eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, not only has the sting of taken away, but death has been transformed into our servant to bring us home. Verse 58, lastly, therefore. Maybe you're thinking, well, Pastor Nate, you said this was about the unmovable Christian. We're just kind of talking about what happens, you know, in eternity. Here's the point, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Paul says, based on everything that he just said, therefore. That means in conclusion, in light of everything that he has just written in chapter 15, because Christ is risen, because we will rise, because we will be given glorified bodies, because death's sting is gone, therefore be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Look at that word, unmovable. It means to stand firm. I'm afraid that we have far too many movable Christians today. Anytime a trial comes, somebody questions their belief, they shrink back and are afraid to take a stance on anything. We don't need any more jellyfish Christians, all right? Ones with no bones. We ought to be, as this verse says, abounding in the work of the Lord. Now I ask you, does that describe your service to Christ? Abounding? Overflowing? Maybe you think, well, at one point in time I abounded, but now I'm just sort of dabbling. Abounding in the work or the labor, it literally refers to working to the point of exhaustion. Maybe you say, well, that's me, Pastor Nate. I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted. Well, then I would ask you this, with what? Because this says we are to work and exhaust ourselves for the work of the Lord. That's important. I think that many believers are just so distracted, spending so much energy on everything else in life, oftentimes we have no more energy to give to the Lord and to his work. Maybe you say, I am exhausted, and it is for the Lord. Well, then to you, Christian, I would say, your labor is not in vain. Keep going. Don't be moved. It's not empty. The Lord sees it. Even when no one else sees what you're doing, believer, don't quit because he does. Everything done for the Lord, it's been said, is seen by Christ, recorded by Christ, used by Christ, and will be rewarded by Christ. Christians, we ought to live as if Jesus died this morning, resurrected this afternoon, and is coming back tonight, right? We have eternity to rest. That's what Paul is teaching us. You're going to get a glorified body. So take the body that God has given you and use it, spend it for him, for his kingdom, and for his glory. Be unmovable. You know, I don't know where I found this, but somewhere I read or saw, and maybe somebody shared it, it was a journal entry of John Wesley. And this goes back about 250 years that somebody found his journal, or they have his journal, and somebody kind of pulled this out, and he was a preacher years and years ago, and they looked at a time span of about a month, and he made these entries. Now, just kind of consider the date on these as well, which is somewhat ironic. Sunday morning, May 5th, that's the first Sunday of May. Preached in St. Anne's Church, was asked not to come back anymore. Sunday evening, May 5th, preached in St. John's Church, deacon said get out and stay out. Sunday morning, May 12th, preached in St. Jude's Church, can't go back there either. Sunday morning, May 19th, preached in St. somebody else's church, deacons called special meeting and said I couldn't return. Sunday evening, May 19th, preached on street, kicked off street. Sunday morning, May 26, preached in a meadow, chased out of the meadow when a bull was turned loose during the service. Sunday morning, June 2, preached at the edge of town, kicked off the highway. Sunday evening, June 2, preached in a field, 10,000 people came to hear me. That's what it means to be unmovable. The idea is to have your feet nailed to the floor, anchors down, firmly planted. Wherever God has planted you, be all in, shoulder to the plow, abounding in the work of the Lord. The world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back. Listen, no matter what you have going on in your life, no matter what trouble or trial or affliction or suffering or pain that you're going through, first of all, God sees that. It's not in vain. He's using that in your life. But can I get you to just think outside of your own life for a moment that no matter what we have going on in our life, the lost are still dying. Eternity waits for no man. The lost are still going to hell. Your church needs you to be unmovable. Your pastor needs you to be unmovable. Your family need you to be unmovable. And friend, the lost need you to be unmovable. But above all, your Savior has commanded you to be unmovable. Let me ask you a question and just tell you a story here as I close tonight. What if I were to ask you, what country on earth has the highest concentration of evangelical Christians? What country on this planet has the highest concentration of evangelical Christians? What would you guess? Somebody says America. It's not America. Somebody said China. It's not China. The Philippines. That's a good guess. It's not the Philippines. Let me confess, you're probably not going to get it because you've probably never heard of it. You might be surprised to know that this title would go to an island nation in the South Pacific called Vanuatu. Today, over 98% of this nation's 350,000 inhabitants are evangelical Christian. You might also be surprised to know that on November 5th, 1858, less than 200 years ago, the day that John G. Peyton and his wife Mary arrived to these cannibalistic islands of Vanuatu, there was not a single Christian in the entire nation. And yet they began working. Just 3 months after their arrival, Mary Peyton died of a fever. 19 days later, their young son died of the same disease. John Peyton slept on their graves at night to keep the island cannibals from taking their bodies of his wife and his child. John suffered many attacks from the islanders who tried very often to take his life. He suffered illness, hunger. His home was destroyed twice by the Pacific storms. He dealt with almost constant animosity from the native peoples. His family, his friends, all of them begged him to return to Scotland. John labored for 12 years without seeing a single convert. Eventually, he did remarry. In everything that the Peytons did, they presented the gospel of Jesus. In 1870, after 12 years of labor and service to Jesus Christ in Vanuatu, they saw their first convert come to faith in Christ. Over time, John and his wife Maggie began to see Christianity sweep over the entire nation. In 1899, after 41 years of serving in the New Hebrides, they saw something perhaps no other missionary has ever seen, the last person on the island yet to believe in Christ come to saving faith. How is that possible? because they were unmovable. Years earlier, a well-meaning church member once cried to John Payton, "The cannibals, the cannibals, you will lose your life. You will be eaten by the cannibals if you go." Without hesitation, he replied, "I confess to you that if I can live and die serving my Lord Jesus Christ, it makes no difference to me whether I am eaten by cannibals or by worms. For in that great day of resurrection, my body will rise as fair as yours in the likeness of our risen Redeemer." So church, are you an unmovable Christian? We have eternity to rest, but there's work to be done. So thanks be to God for the victory that he has given us. Listen, you can't control what happens in your life, but one thing you can control, you can commit to being an unmovable Christian for Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you bow with me for just a moment? I'm going to invite you to stand with me as well this evening. As you bow and you stand, we're going to have a time of invitation. If the Lord's spoken to your heart about something, in just a moment, some music will begin to play. But before I pray, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this evening, and maybe you were one of those people that came into this place thinking, "I'll get right with Jesus later." Friend, later may never come, but now is the best time. Jesus and his invitation is as open as it will ever be. The doors of salvation are open to you. You must believe on Christ, put your faith in him and what he has done to pay for your sins. If you need to be saved, I invite you to come this evening. Christian, are you abounding in the work of the Lord? Praise God that he has mercy each and every day. We fail him many times. There are times where we don't abound, where we are not unmovable, when we are not steadfast, but you can commit tonight to be an unmovable this evening, Christian. At the very least, maybe your response this evening at this altar would be like the Apostle Paul, that you would come and you would offer your praise and say, "Thanks be to God who gives me the victory through Jesus Christ." Dear God, we thank you for your word and the strength that it brings us in our lives through your Spirit. Lord, we thank you for enduring the cross for us. Now, Lord, help us. Give us the strength to be unmovable Christians. Remind us, God, of the victory that we have in your Son. Lord, remind us of what awaits for us in eternity. And Lord, help us to abound in your work. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take just some time as the music plays. Maybe even right there at your seat, you'd like to bow. Or if the Lord's laid something on your heart, you come this evening. You come.
This month of evangelism emphasis with Wednesday and then today, our guests, Pastor Joe and Pastor Nate, I would remind you that we are praying. There's our Great Commission box back there. You can't control the white balls and saving someone. Only Jesus can do that. Therefore, those discipleship balls, you really can only pray that God would give you someone to disciple in the green, but you can control the yellow. You can control who you're praying for their souls. You can control who you're witnessing to. So I'd encourage you to grab one of those balls tonight. Up in the sound booth, we'll get you one, fill out a name, and put it in there. But before you get that ball, I would encourage you to come to the altar tonight. Pray for them. Lift them up. Ask the Lord to save their soul. You know, and I know, there's somebody that you need to pray for that they get saved. Family member, friend, neighbor. Where else would you show? When the Bible says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, it's also talking about not being ashamed to pray about that gospel and for someone else to accept that gospel. What greater way to do that than in the old-fashioned altar? I'll give you time this evening. Would you pray for someone? Would you pray for someone that Thursday at Grow, that we run into somebody that we could tell about Jesus who would get saved? How many of you would come and pray about that tonight? Maybe you'd come for and pray specifically for Grow Thursday and for someone to get saved there. The altar is open. Pastor Nate and that word, and what a wonderful day we've had. Have you enjoyed that? I know it's been enjoyable to sit back and to hear good preaching today, and these are two guys, Pastor Joe this morning, Pastor Nate tonight. I want to always tell you, you don't have to go and look at some podcast or listen to people that you don't know or don't have a clear-cut view on these guys being Bible doctrine and King James and strong and rich in the faith. You can go to their websites and you can go and see them live stream or their audio, people that we can trust, that we know. You don't have to go out and watch somebody that you don't know their doctrine or manner of life, like Paul says. We know this young man and his family and his manner of life and his doctrine, and we can go visit and see him. We know what's going on there. So you don't have to go outside and find somebody that's famous. Jesus could care less if they're famous or not. He cares about what they're talking about. Amen. And these are two guys that we trust and know. So that's also why we have these guest speakers. It builds your portfolio of podcast or watching video or whatever so that you can have something outside of church to be fed. You know, if you want to see something else or hear somebody else different way, it's a great way to do it with guys that we know and trust. All right. Thank you, Pastor. Wonderful. Appreciate you. And being unmovable, that is certainly something we need. Hey, we're good to have Kevin and Belinda here with us tonight. Thanks for visiting with us, and you're welcome here anytime. God is good, been good to our church. We're going to return our offering, our tithe this evening, and give an offering. Again, if you weren't here this morning or didn't hear it, we did reach our $25,000 building fund offering. So it's our largest ever that we've put out there, and so we exceeded that by $3,300. And so God is good. That's more than double our largest offering we've ever done a year. Our biggest one before was $12,000, and so to do $28,000 first shot there in our fifth year as we head towards our fifth year anniversary in September. So exciting news and exciting things going on there. Continue to give, as you can see in our morning services and what's going on, and even if we had the kids and everybody in here tonight, we've got very, very big property concerns as far as space and our classrooms and those things, so we're working through that. Be patient. The guys, again, did a fabulous job working on the property yesterday, but we got to keep giving to the building fund. We got to keep on doing what we can do because God's got more for us, and he's not just got more for us, but he's got more for our community, which is our biggest prayer and concern, is to see people saved. And so in order to do that, I've got to have room to bring them in here. Amen? Because we don't want to just get them saved. We want to get them to church after that and train them up, right? So we got to keep praying about that, working, serving. All right? Let's pray for the evening offering. These gentlemen here are going to receive it, but you give it back to the Lord. It's not receiving it for Assurance Baptist Church. This is God's. Amen? You always remember that when you're giving your tithing. It's not about this church. It's God's. It's what he's required of you, and it's what he's asked. And then remember, you know, tithing is obedience to God, and an offering and giving is just showing our love, our approval of God's work and service in our life and how he's blessed us, you know. And so we say, just don't tip God, but it's okay to tip God after you've tithed to God. Amen? All right, let's return our tithe tonight and give an offering. Father God, we ask that you bless this offering, these tithes, that you bless both the gift and the giver. Father God, we ask that you would do this mightily in the name of Jesus. Amen.